Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. What does a religious institution in Italy have to do with the native Indians who occupied early America? Kind of a strange combination. But recently, a piece of artwork is bringing these two diverse entities together. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is with us today to explain. Lincoln, what's on your mind?
Let's talk about art. We're always on religious liberty and politics and war and some pretty nasty lowbrow stuff. Let's talk about art.
Good idea.
Word has come in the last few days from one of the Vatican art curators that in cleaning off the soot and so on one of the walls, they've discovered a pretty interesting painting. I could joke that it sounds like something you'd find in an old motel room with the soot and smoke. But in reality, in all of those old buildings, before yes. electricity particularly, they would always have a fire burning and they'd damp it down to the point that the heat was coming in, but so the smoke too. And so it's not unusual. But I'm looking at it now and highly colorized, I think. There's a picture of a uplifted face, mm-hmm. some red garments, and in the background are some naked figures. And as the Vatican was always wont to do with their artwork, anatomically correct naked figures mm-hmm. that look like they have sort of a spiky hair and headdresses that could be, well be, someone from the Americas, an American Indian perhaps. And so that's the big news. Mm-hmm. Here, something that's 500 years old, mm-hmm. give or take. Here's a depiction of Native Americans. In fact, the heading says, Vatican discovers first ever depiction of Native Americans hidden under 500 years of soot in ancient painting. Great news. Yes. You know, beats something about the ongoing sex scandal or, whether the Pope was poisoned in his quarters.
It's a soot of a different kind.
Right, yeah. And so it's an interesting piece of news. And on an art level, I'm glad that they brought this to everyone's attention because it's worth remembering that The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci, that was lost for hundreds of years beneath wallpapering and soot and all the rest. And we're very happy that we have such a wonderful painting to see. And so, again, here's a great piece of art. But I'm afraid that the point they're trying to make is a little misleading. The statement implied that this was a recognition of those Indians in the New World. And people should study their history again and learn what happened. Let me read you a quotation from Christopher Columbus, rather a principal in those events. He probably should go down in some sort of a record book as the not the ancient mariner, but the anciently lost mariner. he was looking for India, and he found the New World. But here's what he said. And in case people wonder, this quote not only will tell some prejudice, but the whole adventure had everything to do with advancing religion and projecting religion. And he says, I certify to you that with the help of God, we shall powerfully enter into your country and shall make war against you in all ways and manners that we can and shall subject you to the yoke and obedience of the church and of their highnesses. We shall take you and your wives and children and shall make slaves of them and as such shall sell and dispose of them.
Oh, my goodness.
That was his address to the Native Americans in 1492.
Well, no wonder they pushed back. Oh, my goodness, I would have too.
Absolutely. And I forget the year, but not too long after that, the Pope then of Rome made a theological pronouncement that these residents in the New World were actually not human beings with immortal souls.
Oh, no.
So, which, of course, gave greater license for mistreatment. And then in a later restatement, they decided, well, they perhaps could convert them and Christianize them. But early on, there was not much thought of that because they were just vermin to be disposed of. Yeah. So, you know, the curator, in his own responsibility, did a great thing, but perhaps there was little thought of connecting back to a regrettable line of action and theology in the past that really corporately all of us human beings should be sorry for here are whole people were treated as not, as the American Declaration of Independence says, you know, inalienable rights, because we were created by God. They didn't recognize that.
You know, I'm looking at this picture too, Lincoln, the same one you're looking at. I printed it out here and have it on my desk, and you have Christ face uplifted, and behind him are these images. And what struck me, and maybe it's because of my Christian heritage, I'm thinking that of that song, "When I Was on the Cross, You Were on My Mind," I'm thinking that here's Christ, and on his mind are all people, including the Native Americans, including the naked natives back there dancing around. To me, it's a very affirming picture, and I enjoy looking at it because I think God is thinking of everyone when God does what God does.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable to think that. And who am I, or even you, to judge the artist?
Yeah.
I mean, I deal with artists a lot, and you know, we tell them we want this or that picture, and then they put their own vision into it. The artist may well have understood the underlying dynamic very, very well.
As Christians, we need to do the exact opposite of what it seems is being done here by the Vatican. It once was done by the Vatican, not now, but once was done by the Vatican. And that is to dehumanize people. We need to absolutely humanize them. Not only humanize them, we need to find value in them because of what Christ did for them. This is something that is missing when we blow people up, when we fly airplanes into buildings. We are beginning to think, okay, they're not people like I am. I am superior. That is wrong thinking.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I'll slightly let the Vatican off the hook. Remember, it was the dominant expression of Christianity for many hundreds of years.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so there were many good people there. It wasn't, or, you know, it was the population.
Yeah.
But the poison pill at that time is they'd become so connected to state power and projection of that state power that they mimicked it in many ways. And we know that the imperial inclinations of all of those countries of Europe was to go out and to conquer and to remove people and plant their own society. What I see here is the church had fallen victim of enabling what the state wanted. It was very convenient they were inconvenient people that were living there.
Yeah.
And so the church is giving sort of the holy water on the conquistadors. Go forth and get rid of these people. They don't matter. The church can say so. So, if nothing else, it should be a salutary lesson against allowing church and state to unite their purposes. The church should be involved in the higher sensibilities and expressing what Jesus did. You're right. Mm-hmm. Jesus cared for the least of these. He says, you know, if you care for the least of these, my brethren, you show that you love me.
It just seems to me that we are missing a vital element of Christianity, not only personally, but corporately. This country was founded upon principles. Many of them were found in the Bible, but one of the most important principles that this country was founded on was the equality of man and woman. Why on earth do we struggle so, Lincoln? What is your take on this? Why do we have a hard time finding value and equality in people who are different from us, and sometimes people who are just like us? Why do we struggle with this?
Well, part of it, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but part of it is we're not all equal in the secular sense.
Some are more equal than others.
Yeah. Well, that's another program. We need to get on to Animal Farm and George Orwell's perceptive vision. But, you know, there's no question. Some people are taller than me. In fact, many people are taller than me. No. By the way, listeners, I'm not that tall. I would be a tall person in the Middle Ages.
I would never look down on you, Lincoln, never.
You know, no, we're not all the same. We're not all of the same IQ. Many of us have greater advantages of birth, either born in a more modern, progressive country or born to some privilege and so on. Some of us have discovered God and improved our mental, spiritually, and mental facilities. But the point that we're all equal is that we're all created under God. We all have the same inherent dignity, the same rights, claim to God. And it says God is no respecter of persons. Yeah. So, you know, we need to keep that in mind. But in the real world, of course, there are ups and downs and ins and outs of how we order our society. But we should never use those differences to inform our spiritual understanding of who we are so that we act badly against another person.
So our equality is found in our common ancestry, our common reason
Absolutely.
For being.
We're all creatures of, okay. Of a God. And in the scales of heaven, yes, we're all of the same inherent value.
Which then puts value on every benefit that we have. If I have a higher station than you in life, then I will use that higher station to benefit you. If I
am getting now to what the Bible is a major holy book, you know, there are other people yeah. reaching to a God in their own way, and I don't want to demean that. But let's talk about Christianity. It actually says there that as you have greater understanding toward other people, your obligation is increased.
Oh,
you're not let off the hook.
I like that.
Because you might have more means or more opportunity to meet other people. You have to help them more. You're not released from it. Even Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? Yes,
yes,
says
yes.
God.
Oh, nice.
No, so a real understanding of our common humanity should have led those conquistadors to charitable. Well, it should have led them not to have done much beyond step ashore and say hello.
Say
and,
hello.
You know, how can we work together?
I see. Which way is India?
They came ashore with a pointy flag for the sand and a point for the bowels of the Indians. It was kill on sight.
Yeah.
There's certain, it's a funny thing to throw in, you probably think, but I should allude to it. I think Mormonism, the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, when they formulated themselves, and you know, you can debate whether or not they got a divine illumination, but I think that's why they had such a burden to show a Native American connection. And they had Jesus Christ coming to the New World. I don't think historically there's much to uphold that, but emotionally and spiritually there's a need for such. Yeah. Jesus needed to be applied to the New World and to the much maligned and persecuted and even brutalized Indian population. And the Indians in Hispaniola, which is really Haiti and Dominican Republic, they were dead within a generation, all of them.
Dear.
Mostly because of mistreatment, as I read from Columbus. It was almost unparalleled. It was genocide, pure and simple.
Well, when we have Jesus in our heart, when we have God in our heart, we see through different eyes. We have
Absolutely.
A different way of thinking.
And we can learn from history, the mistakes of history.
Right.
You know, they weren't perpetrated by us or even our immediate ancestors, but human beings did such things in the name of religion. We need to act much differently, informed by God's Spirit and the needs of coexistence in our modern world.
Amen. Amen. Well, Lincoln, another good program from you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Always a pleasure.
And listener, we invite you to the website, libertymagazine.org. Check it out. You can subscribe to the magazine, also read entire issues, and share it with other people. I invite you to do that at libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. Or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.